This podcast is presented by The Earth Hotel.
Don't worry, I'll give myself a wedgie.
Do you know a lot about 90s basketball?
I don't.
Dottie?
I don't, but
I feel like Dottie knows a lot about like 80s football.
But I am on island time almost all the time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Me and Dottie both have a love for like the music and lifestyle of Jimmy
Buffett.
I
bought the shirt. I saw the shirt online. I fucking bought it.
Yes.
Oh, that shirt is beautiful.
It's Curse of Strahd, but it's with Jimmy Buffett as a vampire.
That's probably my favorite shirt ever. It combines two of the things I like.
Here on this podcast, we're all about Dungeons and Dragons and Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett and Curse of Strahd. Strahd and Buffett.
It's also got a Guy Fieri reference in there, but yeah. We're all good. Yeah. Guy Fieri.
I stepped over that part of the joke.
Guy Fieri.
Guy de Fieri.
Welcome to Whose Turn Is It, the weekly podcast where four chucklefucks talk about games and stuff.
What's up, guys?
Hey,
how's it going?
We've been making it in this little void, pocket dimension.
Oh yeah, we are still in a lot of dimension.
I've had a lot of emotional issues. after that was pretty traumatizing.
Yeah, well, you know,
we fought monsters.
Yeah. I miss it so much, and you fucks had to push me in that portal. I wanted to stay there. I wanted to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, like I, looking back on it, we should never have left.
I feel like we ran out of world. I think that was our main problem. There just wasn't more world.
It's like a 90s PlayStation 1 video game.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah.
We hit the edge of the world. And we're like, no, I want to keep doing stuff.
I've got a serious question about the like pocket dimension we're in. Where are you guys pooping?
I've just kind of been walking off.
Yeah.
And just doing it.
I've been holding it in.
This whole time?
Yeah. We're in a dimension.
Sheer force of will. You're like every fucking rush hour.
I'm not going to poop off this side. I don't know where it could go.
Into any other realm. Imagine like we're in like a bag of holding or something, but like there's oxygen as opposed to a bag of holding.
A bottled city.
That's one way to describe it.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
But yeah, I want to try something real quick. I just want to think real hard about a bathroom. You guys tell me if one pops up.
I see a bathhouse.
Yep. I'm from Kentucky.
I say we carry on the rest of this episode from the bathhouse.
Alright,
to the bathhouse.
To the bathhouse.
Well, how's it been going so far with gaming, guys?
Oh, man.
You know what? I think now I rely on Whose Turn Is It for my weekly game.
Yeah.
I'll go first. I popped off from the pocket dimension we're in.
You found a way out.
For a bit, just to run some Dark Heresy, but that went pretty well. For what was it? You and Aeon, Wes. Went pretty well. Aeon is paranoid as hell about everything. That's a good trait to have in Dark Heresy.
I happened to listen in on that game, and there was a lot of people being set on fire for confusing reasons.
Very, very loose reasons.
Aeon is paranoid, but Aeon is paranoid to the wrong things.
I feel like if there's a game ever for Aeon, it's got to be Dark Heresy.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, no, there was a moment where I was just like in character and out of character, just begging her to stop. I was like, please, she's like, please, can we just like not do this? Because you're just, oh, God. But yeah, it was fun. It was a good game. It was a good session. We figured out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, because of where y'all ended, we're just going to do a group session for the next one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I attempted to run a game for coworkers.
Did one die? What happened?
I'm just gonna be honest. We're always honest and vulnerable here. One person showed up, and so that was fun though.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, we made the most of it. Like she'd never played like Savage Worlds.
Oh, okay.
Or like, and she was barely familiar with anything. Like Savage she never played D&D or anything. So like we did like a little tutorial dungeon and stuff, and like I don't know, she had a good time. Her character is Baby Old Grandma. She's like a baby old grandma. This is the concept name that we're going with. She's like, she has the young and elderly hindrances, both of them.
Okay.
So she's like a little kid, but she looks 80, and she dual wields pistols.
Oh wow!
So she's a rootin' tootin' baby grandma, and she's like she's the best.
That's the beauty of Savage Worlds because you can do that.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. That's why that's my preferred game for that kind of thing.
And speaking of Savage Worlds,
yes.
I also ran a Savage Worlds, which was you, Klein, and also Aeon. Woo! And a few others, Josie. It would be very confusing since it's very late in my game to try to describe exactly what happened, but
there's one every season.
Yeah, it got crazy.
Nice.
It's gonna be great.
On that note.
There it is. There it is. The most interesting man in the world cracks open a Dos
drinking,
Equis.
Them Dos Equis sponsor us. We
please.
Love it.
Please sponsor us.
I'm okay with like literally especially anybody at this point. We're working on stuff. If we can get people to reply, it's fine. But
we're not big enough for extreme restraints. If you've got a sex toy you want to sell, we'll do it.
If you know somebody at like Bomba Socks or MeUndies or anything like that, please just shoot us an email. God, you
I'll wear your underwear.
I need more.
I'll
underwear.
Never change.
It's falling off, man. No.
We're running. We've been wearing the same clothes in this void. Yeah. We really need to get something new in here.
There is a parcel service because I'm getting bills sent to here from the apartment. But for me, I currently so I've been tooling around with Mr. Whitechapel, bringing that back, and I'm probably going to bring that back on like a Monday because my set off days are now Sundays and Mondays.
I can move D&D and Dark Heresy around.
Well, it's whenever, like just like as soon as, because I know we're moving through stuff, and like both you and Dash have like set like games going on right now, and like I took a break from it, but yeah. So whenever there's an opening, I'm going to try to jump back into that. But also Sundays, like during like 5 or 6 p.m. like early games, just because it's Sundays, I'm thinking about doing what Klein inspired me. I offered with some of my coworkers who were interested in D&D.
Nice.
Nice.
I was like,
are they new players?
Oh, some of them are. Okay, some of them are cool. New players, and some of them are experienced. But me and a guy that I work with, Alex, what's up, Alex, if you're listening, we're like, okay, we can swap off like every Sunday. Like I'll run a game and he'll run a separate game and like with a different system or something. And so I'm thinking about, I've got like this whole campaign that I've written for 5e like 5 months ago. And I was like, okay, well, I've got this that I never got to run. So let's go through that and run through it. And, so yeah, I'm excited. And, if not enough people are interested, I'm probably going to extend the invite to you guys to come and fill in because it's on Sunday. So
oh, we're honored.
Yeah. Well, you're like my backup.
Yeah, that's why I was saying we're honored.
Well, it's like I want to open it up to people that are interested into like that want to get to playing.
Yeah, because
like I had a guy see me at Marty's the other day. Like I was picking up my tip out and I was just having a beer or two, and he came up to me and he's like, "Yo, what's up, man? I haven't seen you in a while. How's it going? Like, you know, like I've been like playing all these video games and I've been wanting to get into Dungeons and Dragons. I've been listening to your podcast and everything. Like, can you hook me up with a game?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm thinking of something. I'll let you know." And I was like, "But yeah, I've had people come up to me and just like be like, hey, do you play? You're on a podcast. Do you play? Are there games you have? Can I play? I just show up?"
And I'm that's like, been happening to me recently, too,
yeah.
Which I am trying to work on some other stuff. It's just hard to juggle like new ideas. And
have you tried just posting up for like, the Excelsior page or any of the game store pages, just looking for players?
Yeah. I need to send them that way because sometimes like my schedule is I'm gonna have a full-time job.
Risky.
I'm running a kitchen, so like
I
want to run all these games. I wish I could be a professional D&D like
that
dungeon master.
Nice.
Like Satine Phoenix and all these other fucking people,
the porn star.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know about that. I forgot.
What? Yeah, she's authorized Wizards of the Coast dungeon master.
How do you get
one second?
Yeah, okay, well, yeah, but no, like, she took over for GM tips from Matthew Mercer and stuff
what
like that.
What degree do you need to know?
I don't know, like,
do
you
that.
Just,
probability?
I think you need to be in, like, Los Angeles
statistics?
Or New York.
You need 5 years of adult film work.
I was about to say, you need about 5 to 6 years of adult film work.
Well, every DM needs that, so.
Well, you know what? I've got a little bit of experience under my belt, too, so, you know, just, I was a fluffer, so, you know.
I mean, I don't know about the dragons, but there are a lot of dungeons involved, so, you know.
Hey, man, don't kink shame. But speaking of...
bad dragons involved.
Speaking of things that you do on the internet all by yourself with nobody around you, this week's topic is something that we've been hinting at for a while, but this week we're talking about online versus offline tabletop gaming. So like
the episode
that
where
was awkward to get through.
That was good.
The episode where the youngest of us takes the three older ones to task.
Yeah. Listen here, grandpas and grandmas. I'm gonna school you on.
This is gonna be a West heavy episode.
Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah.
Explain to me how I become tweeter.
I've actually walked you through some Twitter stuff. It's great.
Dottie, you have great tweets.
You do have. Great
I don't know if
tweets,
anyone's told
like,
you yet,
like
but you're just
tweets.
Knocking it out of the park with those tweets.
Follow
good.
Dottie on Twitter at Dottie's Turn. Like, follow that boy. He'll talk to you. We all talk.
Yeah, I'll
to
talk
you.
To you. I'm desperate for friendship.
It's the theme of the show, isn't it?
And what better to talk about being desperate for friendship than talking about what you do when you can't find any friends to play Dungeons and Dragons in
God,
real
this
life?
This is a
with.
Fucking
internet.
Another Inside Feelings episode.
You go to the internet, yeah. So this episode we're going to be talking about the different ways you can play on the internet and like comparing and contrasting.
There's
playing
a lot of ways you can
table.
Play on the internet.
Okay, well. But yeah, so
I think this is already the saddest episode we've ever had.
It was coming, man. It's glad it's getting towards the end of the season, so we'll take a break and just get all sad in our feelings.
It'll be good. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you guys know different kinds of ways you can play online? Are you guys aware of...
I'm aware.
Yeah.
I'm a little
I've
aware.
Heard of it.
Aware.
I've heard of it, yeah.
I ran that three-year Call of Cthulhu game through Skype. It was clunky as hell to do. But,
oh, yeah, yeah.
It was...
You're
the only way
Skype.
To do because most of the players were outside of the United States.
Yeah.
But I would have loved having something, been able to come into something that I believe is the topic for today is Roll20.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not just Roll20. There's other websites too.
Roll20 is the most popular one,
yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah.
But I didn't come in, I knew about Roll20. But never really invested any effort.
Yeah. So you know, you had your game over Skype, but there are, what if I told you while you were running that Skype game, there was websites up and running that
Bullshit.
Were playing it? No, Roll20 and Fantasy Grounds were both websites at that time, but they were very, very young, and they didn't support a lot of like game stuff. Like
Vassal. I have
well.
Played through Vassal.
Vassal.
I had to think about that for a sec.
Yeah, so like it, like Roll20 and Fantasy Grounds like each they're like 10 to 8 years old now. Like they've been running for a while.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
But like it's just it wasn't popular. They got popular when Dungeons and Dragons got to being popular again.
Yeah.
When like people started paying more attention, then they made themselves more known.
Right.
But if any of you don't know, Roll20 and Fantasy Grounds are both websites dedicated to the playing of tabletop role-playing games online across, you know, the whole world. And Roll20 supports Call of Cthulhu, 7th Sea, Dungeons & Dragons. They just recently got Pathfinder available. But it's a full website that where you can buy the supplemental material so that you have that on hand and you can run games with maps, grids, tokens, macros, all this stuff. And we'll get into macros in a little bit. But this whole tool set that a dungeon master needs to run a game, but with people from like Japan or Australia, anywhere across the world. And they have a voice chat. They just added video chat a little while ago. So like there's an ability there for you to connect with these players where you're not just typing like it used to be, where there was no voice chat enabled. It was you were just typing and doing things.
Good old AIM.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Are you guys aware of other ways you can play other than just those websites? And Fantasy Grounds is a similar model to Roll20. They're not as popular because Roll20 like hit it first.
Right.
But Fantasy Grounds has different systems available. Like they offer Savage Worlds and they offer.
So oh, good. I didn't know that.
So yeah. Vassal, I'm not sure you're more up to date on this stuff than I am. And it's been a couple of years since I've looked into Vassal, but does Vassal do role playing games through their system now? Or are they still around?
I don't think Vassal is still around. Okay. I think they got put. I think they got put out to pasture.
Yeah, a while they were running. You could play multiple. And I get confused about the term for tabletop because tabletop's the term for a lot of wargaming. But you could play a lot of war games through Vassal. I think they got into a lot of copyright infringement problems. Because they just had the rules open for free for anyone.
Well, that's what it was with Roll20 and Fantasy Grounds. Yeah. But like they had the rules ready for free when they first started out. Yeah. Like you just had to sign up with them, and then Wizards of the Coast and all these other companies like Green Ronin and Kobold Press were like, "Hey,
WotC's not as petty as GW."
Right? Oh no, yeah. Well, it's the difference between a British company and an American company.
Yeah, one's a lot more laid back about losing its empire.
Yeah. Well, and also, like...
Wow.
Yeah. Well done, Donnie.
Sick, sick burn. Fuck you, Britain.
Sick history burn. If we have any British listeners, we do love you.
History zingers, though. Oh, man. That's... Donnie,
take
that's,
us back.
I love that.
Wizards of the Coast have always been about open sharing of their games. Mm-hmm. Like, they have free rules available for Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons and other stuff. They've always been about sharing. They do want their money, though.
Right.
Like, you know, buy their, you know, their books and everything, because they do want their money. But, I mean, of course, they're a company, and you don't get, you know,
and
paid.
And I believe, this hobby of all, like, nerd hobbies is the one that, like the industry really doesn't have that much money coming into it compared to other places.
Oh no, other,
because so like you buy a book and that serves like five people.
Yeah,
so,
like it needs to build community pull. So like both Fantasy Flight and WotC, I know, have like a lot of DM materials and tutorials and like player sheets and stuff are free.
Mm-hmm.
PDF download on the site.
Pinnacle Games with Savage Worlds as well.
And
a lot of these sites, what they do really well, and like Fantasy Grounds has other stuff that they don't have for Roll20. And it's really just what you prefer, and we'll get into like what makes them different here in a little bit. But they do have all the books and everything you need for sale, and it is at a margin of the price, because you are not getting the hardcover book with all the artwork and everything. You get the artwork, and you can print it off yourself. You can print it off and like put it in a notebook yourself.
Yeah.
But like you're only paying like... two-thirds to a third of the price, especially if they have sales going on. Another thing to talk about,
the one you just mentioned, the artwork thing
for books, just in general, hardcover books compared to like buying like online. Well, if we have enough time, we'll talk about D&D Beyond and what they're doing.
I'm most familiar with them, actually.
And there's some other ways to play. You don't have to play through these websites. You can do it through Google Hangouts, through Skype. Also, Discord, which is something that's popular amongst like Twitch people that are involved with Twitch and online gaming.
They play a lot of tabletop with Discord?
Yeah. Okay.
That stands to reason.
They have like, because with Discord, you can just have the book set up in front of you with character sheets, and you have voice chat and video chat available through Discord. And so you already have your community gaming friends that you play League of Legends or Rainbow Six Siege with, so why not just add that little edge to it with Discord? And there's also a big one, Tabletop Simulator.
I've seen that. That one's funny.
I remember when it first came out, and I remember, hey, this looks cool. It's very clunky.
Is it made by the same people that did Search and Simulator and Job Simulator?
Is it fixed at all?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Okay. They release like regular patches like monthly
it really needed them,
because Tabletop Simulator, much like Dottie's definition of tabletop gaming, which differs from mine because I am younger than you.
You can play Warhammer through
Tabletop Simulator. You can play board games through Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah, I've seen it before.
You can play Dungeons and Dragons. You can play, like, if there's a tabletop, a game that you can play on a table, you can play it on Tabletop
Simulator. Yeah, so Tabletop Simulator, for those who don't know, is not a game. It's a sort of toolbox of game things. And so you're playing a sort of virtual tool that you're interacting with game.
And you're actually at a table. You're playing on your computer, but you're actually at a table, and there's other people around. Their avatars around the table. And you're actually, like, picking up the dice and rolling them, with your mouse. And, you know, you're typing stuff out and everything.
And it's all, like, physics-based and stuff. It's, like, It's very novel, I would say. It's highly novel. I never actually downloaded it, but I've watched like a lot of videos of it, and I'm like, I want to get into that because that's very interesting. I haven't particularly found a practical purpose for it, but it does intrigue me quite a bit, and I think I would buy it like at some point.
I watched somebody play AD&D, like first edition AD&D, it, and like they had like the screen set up and everything, and like they had the little like you know miniatures, and it looked like 1980s as shit.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I'm wanting to get into it more, but I
love
that
because you could just buy. Or I love the idea of there's being a sort of a tabletop sort of core experience, and then you could buy expansion packs or like different sort of like minis, you know, digitally and like different like backgrounds and stuff. That seems like a lot of fun.
I like the idea of it for like you know, Dwarvenforge puts out some really cool shit with that build your own tiles kind of shit.
Oh yeah,
but like. I don't got that kind of money all the time.
Yeah. Same thing with Hero Forge.
The simulator really opens it up to that if you want to have that pretty dungeon and you know, play around with it.
We all want a pretty dungeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, with basically what I said earlier, I was talking about.
Yeah, extreme restraints. So. Get at us. Yeah. I want my pretty dungeon.
Yeah, this table that we're sitting at right now, I want it to just be like, it has a dungeon underneath like a hardwood top.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to be hidden.
The gaming tables company, yeah.
Yeah. But that's if you want to get more into that, it's at our gaming supplements episode that we did a while back. Check that out. But yeah. So what are some of your own personal experiences with playing online, if any, guys?
So I actually I remembered this just before we started this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is really a thing anymore. It would be cool if it is. And basically, there used to be these forums you could make with free Pro Boards forums,
yeah,
where people would get together and just role play. Like they would log in as their character and just play as their character in whatever stories they wanted to make together. So what I the one that I was on mainly was actually a Legend of Zelda RP forum called Zelda Armageddon.
Oh, nice. That sounds rad.
Good URP.
Were you a Deku?
I was. No, I actually chose a specific character. I played as Ralph from Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages.
Oh, okay.
Wow, like, deep cut.
Yeah, he's sort of the rival character in that game. And
He is your butt. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's your Pokemon's butt.
That's fitting.
So I played as him in that form, and all of us played around with like a few different characters here and there, but like that was my main one, and that was really fun. It's definitely more for people who are just sort of trying to tell a story together. There's not really
I've known people who've done that before. Like, how is like combat and like stuff like where there's competing things resolved?
Is it with a D20 system, or is it like a
no? D1? That's so that's the thing. So that's kind of the most complicated part of the whole thing.
Yeah, and that's the part that interests me most, because after hearing people talk about this type of role play, I'm like, this.
My roommate used to be in a bunch of forums like that. Yeah.
So
my old roommate.
How it would usually work is if you got in a combat situation with another character, you'd pretty much be leaving short combat or short comments on what your attack action was. There was no like system in place. Usually what I would do is like if I got in an encounter with another player, I'd start a private chat with them where we would basically debate over who should win the battle.
That's like the card game Super Fight. You're debating why your character would beat the other character.
Yeah.
In some instances, like diplomacy as well.
That's very interesting.
It was
I can't imagine that went well.
It was not a perfect system, but all of us were usually there like trying to like create something together.
It was on the same page already.
It's like a philosopher fighting game.
You would get the shitty players who would be like, no, I'm gonna win no matter what, and I'm gonna use some super magic power I've got or whatever.
Power gamers.
You're but
way
most
too
of the
good
time,
at that voice.
Even like most of the time, even some of the more aggressive players would be like, okay, well, let's come to a conclusion on how this should end. Like, what's best for the story overall.
That's cool though.
So, I mean, yeah, that was fun. There was actually a lot of that. Like, we would discuss with each other, like, plot lines that we wanted to create. So that was, like, that was a cool part of it, too.
Was there, like, any story or, like, something, like, that comes to mind specifically about, like, that was like that came out of frustration of having to rely on the tech or the internet instead of like what was at your hands. Like instead of being like, man, if I had a dice and stuff, I could like perfectly portray this. But no, I'm at a computer. Like,
yeah, I can't remember a situation like that. I'm sure I ran into them.
Yeah,
I've got one.
Yeah,
with that 3-year Call of Cthulhu game, shitty internet saved one of the players from dying.
Yeah.
Shitty internet cutting out, shut down the game. I couldn't see their role to not die. And when we came back, I told them they could roll again. They succeeded the second time. The first time, they failed by a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Man.
But I had no evidence of it, so whatever.
Because you're relying on the internet. Yeah, the internet went down. Okay, Klein, what about you with your experience with playing online?
So my like first experience with tabletop was all online. As I think I've told the story maybe a couple of times, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating anything.
No, it's
like,
good. It's topical.
I went through this sort of time in my life where I was traveling a lot, and mm-hmm. I was following a musician for a while, and I met these people through like this sort of cult. So like there was a forum in place for this musician. And I had met those people, like, in person just through, like, traveling around.
Yeah.
And one of them, she did Ren Fairs and stuff and, you know, was a long-time gamer. And we just sort of, like, planned, okay, let's make a D&D world set in, like, framed around this musician's discography. And so, like, it became this collective creative project. But there's like the forums had these chat clients involved, and so we would play just because it had like a rudimentary die roller, and so we'd play we played tabletop through there, and it was like my first time doing that, and, like I'd wanted to do that all throughout like adolescence and like teenage years, but then it was not until I was 21 that I actually like found some people to do that with, and it was over the internet and stuff. So, and it was really fun. It was 3.5. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about it. Our characters started off with zero gear. But really, like, just the idea, like, the novel idea of being able to do whatever the fuck I wanted and, like, to make any action I wanted and just have that represented by a dice roll was just novel in itself. And so it didn't matter to me that it was, like, a sort of a very homebrew, sort of, like, atypical experience.
Yeah.
But as far as using the chat client, I enjoyed it. That's what I'm most comfortable with because... Gosh, we got some phantoms in the walls.
Some real ghosts.
Void phantoms.
Yeah. That's
so the ghost that we moved in here with, he like left for a little bit after I found, you know, his girlfriend's spirit and I helped them pass over together.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Well, he was a big fan of Men at Work and so was I. And so there was that one
who
night.
Isn't?
Yeah.
Who can it
where he like
be
yeah,
now?
He whistled Who Can It Be Now and I responded back to him and so like then we became friends and like Alex was really scared of him. But I was like, nah, it's not a phantom or anything. He's a ghost. He was just trying to find his girlfriend's spirit.
This is the same ghost that interfered with the audio on that one episode.
Yeah.
Quick aside, what's the difference between a ghost, a wraith, and a phantom?
Ooh.
Oh, okay, so a wraith died a violent death, right? And they're seeking vengeance.
And a phantom died a sexy death.
So on the same on the wraith there, sub part of the wraith, banshee?
Banshee is like a very specific form of wraith, like a very Scottish,
they die
or Irish
screaming.
Form
yeah,
of
very,
wraith.
Yeah, very
phantom
loud.
Is just spooky.
Yeah.
Ghost is just a regular ass person.
Like a phantom, like,
and then Casper
like does like
ghost.
Spooky things. Ghosts are just kind of there. Like ghosts are just there. And they're and like phantoms and wraiths are like subgenres of ghosts, but like a ghost like primarily is like a spirit is like...
A phantom knows what
they're
doing.
Yeah.
A ghost is sort of might be accidental.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like some miasma that's just there, that's just ectoplasm that's just like left over.
Thank you for humoring me. Back on topic.
Okay,
though.
Yeah.
No. That was a good subtopic, though.
Yeah. Talk about ghosts is always
talking
good.
About ghosts. Let's get spooky up in here. You know, it's almost halfway to Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Bustin' makes me feel good.
Oh, yes, my favorite time.
Okay. All right.
Bustin' makes me feel good. Great. But Dottie, you've had that experience with that 3-year Call of Cthulhu game. Klein, you've had that experience with that with your first time ever playing tabletop, like online.
And just wanted to wrap it up, but like I'm more comfortable with that now because we got to type out everything and think about it before we entered. It was a slower game.
Yeah.
But
that's wonderful.
It let us like concentrate on like everything we wanted to say. And be precise and clear about everything.
Instead of like getting like caught up in the emotions and then like just shouting stuff
out.
Yes,
and also
like,
I'm just better at writing than I am at speaking.
Yeah.
And I'm not an actor, but anyway, carry on.
I'm better at speaking than I am writing. Yeah. I like to write. Okay, guys, we're going to take a break real quick and hear a word from some of our other programs on the Hearth Hotel.
That was really smooth.
Thank you.
Do you enjoy debating the hot and relevant topics of the day with folks on the internet? Do you wish there was a better way? Do you want to be heard, understood, and captured for the record as a way of working out possible solutions and synergistic understanding of different points of view in order to try and repair this bizarre world? Then you are in the right place. I Came Here for an Argument is the newest show on the Earth Hotel Podcast Network and is your verified award-winning source for informed and otherwise debate in these modern confusing times. Available now at theearthhotel.org and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Ich bin Ikva. Thanks for listening.
I thought we were back.
We're back.
We're back.
This is what we do.
Before we get into the next topic, I just want to let you know I have a little bit more of a heavy history with online role-playing, tabletop role-playing, just because I got into it just because of when I don't Twitch stream at all anymore. I need to get back into it. I've been so busy. I met some people through different Twitch channels that I watched, and they were all interested in playing Dungeons & Dragons. Most of them had never played before. One of them had. And so, two of them lived in Canada. The other two lived, across the United States. And so I was like, okay, well, we'll do Roll 20. And I played... I took them through a couple sessions, and then, that's when I got really busy. But I also, every once in a while, I'm going through Curse of Strahd with some friends here. Z, Chris... Jeff, who runs karaoke and multiple places. Jeff was running us through Curse of Strahd on Roll 20. I played a half-orc monk.
Nice.
So fun.
Nice.
So fun.
I like that.
Way of the Drunken Master, too.
Good.
So fun.
It's a good
one. Yeah, so...
That's a Xanathar's shit.
Mm-hmm. It's so fun. It's fun. There are some problems that I do have with it. There's frustrations that come with it. Exactly one moment when I was running a game... and we were going through combat. You don't know how much you rely on technology when you have everybody talking at once trying to do something. Half the people have shitty mics and the other half have great mics.
Yeah.
And everything's chopping up and you can't hear every
word. Oh, you mentioned that to me.
Yeah.
Actually, that's funny.
I had to be like, hey, one at a time, all right? Take your time, one at a time, everybody's turn. Also, there's a lot of delay on audio.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to you get really into it as a game master and you're like, hey, I'm an NPC and I'm talking to you right now. And they're like, oh yeah, totally. And there's a respond delay.
Yeah.
And there's just there's one time they were talking to the governor of this town and I was trying to be super serious because the town was under attack. And then they were just like, joking around because there was a delay after every time I talked because internet, but yeah. So, going over some.
Do you think that was because of that particular thing that you're working in, or do you think Skype or Google Hangout sort of had a similar issue, or do you think that was all because Roll20?
I we'll get into this
with
the pros and cons, but I think it's not just the program. I just think it's the fact that you are talking over the internet. There's bandwidth, and even if you are hardwired or on Wi-Fi or anything like that, there's gonna be a delay. It's like when you're you're watching a show, you're watching a news channel, and they're talking to somebody across the country, and they're like, "So, what do you think about this?" Oh yeah, Arthur. There is that little quick delay. That's
I guess. Do you think that would have been that was substantially made worse by
if
program
it was on
you're using or versus more dedicated video.
And we started doing it through Roll 20, and I noticed there was a lot of delay with Roll 20, and sometimes it would cut out, sometimes it just wouldn't work, and so we moved to Discord, and we just did our voice chat over Discord, and there were significantly less problems.
Yeah, that's
Discord.
What I would have guessed.
Because Discord is on voice chat. So definitely if you guys are looking into doing any of this, look at Discord. It's great.
It's nice having everything in one program. So you got your game in it, you got your video there. But then it's also
it's super taxing.
If you can run a different program where the game is being held and then a different program where everyone's, video is being picked up, it might it's something to consider. There's a lot of options out there is what we're saying.
Yeah. So getting into a little bit of the pros and cons, and I know you guys haven't had as much experience, but you guys had enough experience. Let's talk a little bit about like the pros of playing online versus offline, and then we'll talk about the cons here soon. But like, just we can just go in the round. Like what just from what you guys have noticed would be some of the pros.
So I love having hard copies of any book that I own or any book for systems that I run.
Yeah.
Just because I read a lot. I read a lot in the house, and I don't always want to stare at a bright ass screen to read.
Yeah.
I genuinely hate doing that. But I also read at Waffle House a lot, and I don't want to take my laptop in there.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous place.
Wait, you
laptop.
Take your D&D books into Waffle House, but not your laptop?
Yeah.
That's fair.
I play Magic with the cook every now and then, man. It's all right.
Have we ever played D&D at Waffle House?
We should do that.
We've played Pickup 20.
Yeah.
20.
Bucket list shit.
Bucket list shit, yeah. I really enjoy having the PDFs at hand and being able to tab the pages that I will need, so I can immediately have the rule at hand when I'm working online. Now, you can do that with a laptop at the table, but there's a lot of system out there, mainly D&D Beyond, but I believe Roll20 also has it, where they just have the rules ready to go.
Oh yeah,
so it's like, all right, I'm casting Guiding Bolt. I don't remember what that does. Type this in. All right, cool. I've got it right here.
Yeah. There's a sidebar, and like for Fantasy Grounds and Roll20, like the main screen is the grid, the map that you're playing with, like your tokens, your character tokens, and you can put any picture for. There's a lot of customization with it. It's very versatile. It can also get super fucking complicated.
Yeah.
Because there's like some stuff, to do the really cool stuff, you have to know coding and stuff. But
I like that though. That's cool.
And it's like, I know how to do like some computer program stuff like that, but I'm not a coder. I'm not at all. But
can make MySpace look good.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can.
Good
point,
Byron. Fucking do that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But there are a sidebar, and it has like all the supplements that you've bought, that you've paid for, or that you've added to. It has all of like items. It has lore for your games that you're running that you can type up. It has character handout where you can see everybody's character sheet. You can also see your NPC's character sheets, and you can see like the stats from the monster manual. You can see spells all laid out. You can also see class stuff, so the different racial traits and class traits, all right there on a sidebar that you can just click and look at.
I like this. This is really appealing to me the more you describe it. I'm getting the itch to like try this out more.
I've thought about doing it, but like using Roll20, like, at the table, and we'll get into that, like merging the two and using Roll20 or Fantasy Grounds while you're all sitting at the table, so there is like, you don't have to voice chat or anything, but you have it all the maps and stuff there for you. But yeah, it's they lay it out really well. And Dottie, I can agree, like having the PDFs there, like everything there is super super useful.
I've watched a couple of Roll20 games played through like Twitch and stuff.
I was also on a couple of Twitch games. Yeah.
I've started making tokens for it just for my games, but the conditions that are applied to players.
Yeah.
I rely a lot on player honesty for that stuff, and sometimes I will forget. I shouldn't, but sometimes I will forget.
Mm-hmm.
I like that on Roll20, it's just applied until the timer on it runs off or they pass the check.
Yep.
So that the onus of keeping track of that isn't on me all the time.
It's on the program. It's on the program. Yeah. And then you see their dice rolls and everything.
Accountability. That's my pro for it.
It provides accountability instead of like, because there are some negatives. But what about you, Klein? The pros that you see with playing online.
Like, a lot. Like, I love the whole like having everything there at the touch of your fingertips. That's what I try to do now because I mostly play on my laptop now.
Yeah.
Like, I pretty much have everything on my laptop when like I come through. I have like all the tools I need and everything's there, and I love it. But it's also like small screen. I gotta sift through multiple pages here. It's not as quick. It's not as organic as the whole like putting a bunch of like actual books on your table, having them open and like peering through them like a manic wizard.
Yeah.
I dig both of those worlds and I really like both of them. And you know, that's the cool thing about this hobby though, is that you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
It's like whatever flavor you prefer.
If you really know the book you're looking through, that's a really cool look.
Yeah,
it is. Like, there's been so many times where I've just opened up a book and it's just right there, and it's because like it's also like the most like there's a little divot in the pages because it's the most look through page. It's like okay, yeah. Spells list. Like just yeah.
If I pulled the Dark Heresy book here off the shelf, it would open to either psychic power or the psychic phenomena table. Or the critical damage table.
Yeah. Because
those are the most fun tables.
Yeah.
I realized I got that way with the Savage Worlds like hardcover mm-hmm. deluxe edition. Like I have had that motherfucker for like
oh, God.
4 or 5 years now. And like I just know where all the shit is. Love it.
Love it. What about you, Dash?
I mean, I think the obvious thing that's so great about it is just like being able to play with people that it otherwise wouldn't be easy to play with, you know,
yeah.
like if you've got friends in who've moved to other states yeah. or live in other states or other countries even.
Or are agoraphobic like Klein.
Or, yeah, afraid of going outside like yeah. Klein is, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you actually?
Yeah. Some days.
But, you know, it allows you to still play the game even when, you know, circumstances aren't ideal. It just makes it easier to, you know, stay connected with your friends and your players and stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I agree. Like, I've been able to connect with people across, like, especially when I was, like, on Charlie Chop Shop's streams a couple times playing excellent streamer. Check him out at the Chop Shop Network, twitch.tv/Chop Shop Network. He puts out great content. Like, he's got a show called Brush Drunk where Tommy, paints minis. And
oh, nice.
Stuff on Twitch. It's really
Ooh,
cool.
Dottie.
They're really versatile.
Check him out.
Yeah, check him out. Make a friend, Dottie.
I'm a speed painter. I'm not for quality.
Yeah.
Oh, well, sounds like a rivalship is already budding.
But also, get at Dottie, too. He'll do commissions if you want him to.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Don't do this to me.
I will do that to you.
Don't but, have the time.
being able to connect and being able to... And also, like, even if you do have people... around with you streaming on Twitch, having that Roll20 system so you can have the map up there for everybody to see it, tokens. That's something that I've always wanted to play with is like everybody have like a tablet or a laptop and we're playing at the table, but oh, I need to show you a map. I didn't draw it out. I went on incarnate.com and I like painted it up online
right.
And I'm showing it to you like right there.
So you're saying our end game is to put the TV in the middle of the table.
Yes, that TV
yeah.
in the middle
That's
of the
so
table kind of
sexy.
Thing. Oh,
yeah.
It's so sexy.
you wow.
Yeah, sorry.
You really got
a
look.
I went from 6 to midnight real quick thinking about putting a TV and a table to use as a
six
map.
To midnight.
Ooh, yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Pitching a pup tent. No. So yeah. So To go back around just so we can expedite things a little bit. Cons. Anybody think of any, like, the cons of playing online versus offline? Yeah.
You're online, and I expressed this with the Call of Cthulhu game. Not everyone's internet is good, and sometimes it'll cut out, and that can really fuck up a session.
Yeah, for sure.
That's my biggest con to it.
Yeah.
The accountability thing holds too pretty well. I don't know if there are ways around it, but there probably are.
Yeah.
I'm not the smartest person for that, so I'll leave it at shitty internet is a real problem.
Yeah. What about you, Klein?
So I keep thinking about where the cons like for me, and I'm like, oh, I like internet play. I like
yeah.
the sort of a. Sort of like I got my pajamas on. You like my friends are here. This is
yeah.
awesome. This is
you get
the,
to
you know.
Eat and you get to drink and smoke in the comfort of your own room.
Exactly. But at the same time, I think the con for me, the major con, is almost spiritual in nature. Like when you're not in the same room, you can't have that D&D
connection
experience.
Yeah.
That true. And I think this is
you can't pick up. You can't pick up on the like the feelings of your cohort next to you.
Yeah. Like you're there's something that archetype of just people gathered around a table.
The role play is not as intimate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as
Agreed.
Intimate. It loses a bit of a an essence to it that I think is important to the medium as a whole. But
yeah.
I still like both. I think both can be worked with.
Yep.
And I would say my complaint or my con is kind of really just a combination of both of those, which is because with my games, I'm very I'm always very story focused in how I run my games, and I'm very story focused as when I play as well.
Yeah,
or character focused, I suppose. And you know, between the internet connectivity and the not physically being with other players, there's a flow that's lost there. Like it doesn't feel like it's happening naturally, organically any longer.
Not hitting those moments of like. Yeah, flow. It's a perfect word, really, where you're just like in the characters and you forgot how that happened.
Yeah.
I do have another point. It's on the ground rules that I run for all of my games. I'm fine with people drinking at my game.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. That's fine. Don't get fucking sloshed at my game.
Yeah.
When people are at their house in their own fucking environment,
yeah,
they are more inclined to do that and just try and lie it away. I'll notice, but it'll take longer.
Oh, there's been multiple times. Yeah. I'm going to call Z out here, a friend of mine that, you know, that was in the Jeff games.
Receipt pulling this.
I'm pulling. Group of DMs. I know, right? But there's been a couple times where she's fallen asleep at her computer while we were playing. We're
nice.
Z, you're playing a warlock. We need you to hex and Eldritch Blast. We need you to hex and Eldritch Blast. That's all. Just click something. And
the amount of times that happens to like friends of mine on DayZ is hilarious because you'll just see their body, their person just standing in the middle of a fucking field.
Yeah,
it's a classic online role playing game thing to do. Fall asleep.
Yeah, just falling asleep right there at the computer. Yeah,
no shame in that one.
I think the biggest con for me with this thing is, and it's not so much if you play over Discord or Hangouts or Skype, whatever you use, but it's. If you are using Roll20 or Fantasy Grounds, or even D&D Beyond, which D&D Beyond is an excellent tool, they have a character builder, you can buy all the supplements there, you can have all the monster manual and stuff there. It's great, great. D&D Beyond, please contact us. I would love to be sponsored by you. I love your product so much. Oh my God. They're coming out with a mobile app.
Yes, I am also horny for you, D&D Beyond.
Yeah, yeah. So if anybody knows anybody at D&D Beyond, please.
You set my loins a-jittering?
Yes, there you go. There you go. Not a romance novel. Yeah.
You warm the cockles of my
heart. We want to get in bed with you.
Sorry we're weird, but we're like this. Yeah, and we love
this
you.
Is how we're like. We bring this certain brand of confused neuroses to it. But no. The biggest con that I have is like using these programs like Roll20 and Fantasy Grounds is you are limited now. You are limited to what you have bought through them.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you can add maps and tokens and stuff, but like the amount of stuff you have available to you for which system you're running them through is what you bought through their marketplace.
It's that how willing are you to shell out for digital content as opposed to having the physical content?
Yeah. And the thing is, you can input your own personal content, but you have to put it in piece by piece. Like, you can add spells to your character sheet or your player's character sheet, but you have to put in everything. What kind of school of magic is it? Is it a verbal, somatic, or material? Is it, like, all the descriptions? You have to type them in, and you have to do the macros and the coding yourself. Or you can pay $25 for this book, and you get all of the spells, and it's there, and they do it for you.
Yeah.
Like, there's a price for convenience.
Yeah, they really incentivize that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a price for convenience. It's like, do you want to sit there for 5 hours and input every little thing and do the coding yourself and input yourself, or do you want to pay to have all this stuff available?
That's good business marketing.
Like, fair to me, though.
It,
like,
it is fair trade,
use games through, like, you know, Steam or, like, Good Old Games or something. If it's the same sort of deal. Like, you're using that sort of, like, that framework to access the content you purchase. And if you're comfortable with that, then I think that's a fair thing. Yeah. You just got to hope that every player you play with also wants to.
Well, they also do this thing with Roll20 now. I don't think they do it with Fantasy Grounds. Actually, they do. They do it with Fantasy Grounds, and they do it with D&D and Beyond. If you pay a monthly fee of, I think it's like $5 or $6, then all the content that you have, your players will have as well as a Dungeon Master. Cool. Yeah. So like you get to share content, and you also get like, you know, like lighting and like all this like dynamic lighting and all this different stuff and like textures, and you get free stuff with it. But
that's kind of fun.
It's fun, and like, you know, I'm all for supporting something. And I think if you don't want to pay a monthly fee, you can play like pay like an outright fee of like, I think it's like $80, and you don't have to pay it ever again. And like, you get all their tool sets.
I'm open to shilling in for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I do with like, if I have an option to pay, like instead of doing a monthly fee, just doing a yearly fee and I have the money, like just paying for the year, then I'll do that. I do that with my Alpha subscription so I can watch Critical Role and all those like Geek and Sundry stuff. And that's what I did with Roll 20. I paid like a year fee and I was just like, hey, like there you go. I paid the outright fee, but yeah.
How does it sound really when you like people? You said different mic qualities and stuff.
Yeah, that's And as we get away from the cons, let's as we're starting to wrap up here, let's talk about these different things and like kind of give like what our own
little
idea,
technical
specs, and like our own tips of like what we think personally could help enhance your game like online. Yeah, so the different mic qualities. What was your question, Klein?
So just like, I don't know, just speak to that more. Like, did people have like actual like nice mics, and could you tell like through like the service that their mics were better than other people?
So I have a Yeti Blue mic, and I think Dottie can attest to this. When I was on Charlie's stream, my mic quality probably sounded better than a couple of other guys that were using just regular
headsets
or
that's
mics.
What it sounded like.
Like you can tell the difference, like depending on what mic you're using. If you're using an actual like studio mic or a mic by Yeti, which like they have great quality mics.
I also use the Yeti, and it's great. I also use a Snowball.
Yeah, Snowball's great. Yeah, I mean like the Yeti, like the Blue company is so great. Like the Blue, like they have a lot of great products. They also do like lapel mics and stuff like that, which is cool. But you can definitely tell when somebody's using a headset and they have it like right up to their mouth, as opposed to somebody that's sitting there with a studio mic and they have like a cover over it, a pop filter.
It's the eternal question of how much of their beard do you want to hear?
And it's like, but there's also a flip side of that. You can hear people like if they don't have their Blue Yeti mic setting to like omnidirectional or like to the solo direction, and they have it all around, you can hear them munching on pizza in the background and stuff. Yeah.
That's bad.
So it just really like there's a give and take with their quality of mic, but like honestly you can tell the difference, especially when you're playing with people, because they'll be like if they don't enunciate
well. Pretty solid audio quality and
And especially if you're getting serious about this and you're going to be running a long campaign and you're going to try to get like emotional and intimate with it as like an RPG campaign, as you should, I feel that you should. It's going to be hard to do that when you have somebody that's talking like this and you can't understand what they're saying because they have like a terrible quality mic.
Right.
Yeah. Anybody else? With just talking about going over anything or tips or tricks that you think could help with online games?
I think we covered most of it, man.
I got a tip and a trick just because I've been using a...
Just the tip, please.
Okay.
I'll take the trick.
Okay, so I'll split the difference.
I'll just watch.
Yeah. Always just watching.
So
if you're using a... There's some wall phantoms always just acting a fool.
These wall phantoms.
So many fucking ghosts.
Dropped our dials again. tips and tricks. Okay, so if you're using a different like chat service that has like, sometimes I've played a little bit of a freeform game on Slack.
Yeah.
And so Slack has this option to where you can add sort of like emojis onto like different people's like statements.
Yeah.
And so like we've like modified some of the rules to be like if like people can use the emojis they add sort of like to vote or to add modifiers to how to the various levels of success. Like if someone adds a bunch of like the fire emojis, like that would be like, you know, that would play out in like whatever the result was. And so that's been fun. So like utilize whatever your nothing I think is a limitation. You know, like this is a pretty easy medium to play through, and even we've enjoyed a lot of time just making everything up whole cloth, so just like, you know, you can do anything with whatever you got going on, and I think the online route is awesome. You can do that even just like in whatever messenger program you use.
Oh yeah. What about you, Dash? I know you're a more at the table IRL kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm. You know, it's not really my bag. I honestly, you know, I feel like I don't have enough experience with it to really mm-hmm. be able to give any sort of advice of any kind.
It's a first.
I've got nothing. I got nothing for this one, I'm afraid. But I mean,
savor the moment.
I would.
Everybody.
I would enjoy to experience it a little more at some point. I don't think it's necessarily for me, but I'd still like to experiment with it.
Yeah.
Might be surprised.
You might be surprised. Yeah.
I won't be.
Somebody proved Dash wrong.
There's no joy in life for Dash anymore. It's just pain.
Pretty much. It's a miserable life, and I hate it.
Like Solid Snake. I guess my tip would be like always with Wes coming in with his brand of nihilistic optimism. It's such a weird cocktail to have.
Yeah.
Have fun with it. All right. But yeah, like honestly, like Klein said, even with limitations, and there's air quotes around that, limitations, use them and utilize your tool set, because you as a player and as a dungeon or game master or keeper, whatever you want to call yourself, you have a toolbox. You have a tool set that you can use, and it's all in your ding-dang head. And really, like, make it your own. And especially if you're playing with people that, like, the only way you can play with them is over online, like mm-hmm. chat and stuff. And feel free to mix and match with that. Be like, okay, yeah, hey, we're going to use Roll20 just for our maps, just for our combat. Because at some point, I was like, hey, I'm just going to use Roll20 for combat. That's it. Because, like, the role-playing aspect to it and stuff, it takes in, like, moving tokens around. Be like, I'm going to go talk to this person.
Oh, that's kind of weird and interesting. I like to see that played out.
It's like, just use it for combat, and then everything that's, like, social interactions, encounters, and stuff, use over the chat.
I would have never thought of using a map for anything but combat. It's interesting.
Yeah. I would be on board for Roll20 just for the combat for Dark Heresy because of just the amount of space needed.
Yeah. Yeah, and then also, like, your field of vision and stuff.
Yeah.
And they have a wide variety of tools, and not everything costs money on Roll20. They have a marketplace, and there's some stuff that people put up there for free. They're like, hey, I did this thing that really helped my game.
Modders community.
Use this. Yeah. Like, and they do allow the modders community. They want you to put homebrew content. Same thing with D&D Beyond. They want you to add homebrew content. Like,
yeah, that's way special and awesome.
Yeah,
it's not all good, but some of it's just fucking hilarious.
I wanted to play a dragoon one time, and Dottie wouldn't let me because he said
it's a broken class.
It was broken class because they have like a 20-foot vertical leap. Because do you know what a dragoon is? You fight dragons. You're a monster hunter.
Jump like Kane.
But yeah, so I mean, like, it's such a great community, and it's a community bent on sharing and working together and building up this, and use the tool sets that are provided to you, and like find a way to use them to propel this community. Because what we're seeing right now in these past couple of years, especially with the help of Stranger Things and Critical Role and Geek and Sundry and all these things like that, is we're seeing.
Don't forget Monsters and Mazes.
Monsters and
Mazes.
Monsters
and Mazes.
Came out 30 years ago or 40 years ago, heaven forbid. Like 30 years ago, yeah. But
thank you, Satanic.
And
panic.
Then also, like, you know, like Vin Diesel and Joe Manganiello and all these celebrities that are like, oh, I play Dungeons and Dragons. I'm super into Dungeons and Dragons. We're seeing this influx of it becoming, it's on the rise. It's popular. It's a popular medium now. And Encounter Roleplay on Twitch. All these people are doing stuff with it. Harmon Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's all over the place. And it wouldn't be here if we didn't have these tools available to us. And it wouldn't be as popular if we didn't have these tools available to us.
The internet's really, you know.
Yeah. It is a great thing.
Bringing us all together.
And you know, like, maintain a free internet and all that stuff. Let's get preachy about it.
Oh, now we're getting into that.
Are we crossing over into I came here for an argument?
Yeah. No. So let's, and speaking of which, you know, while you guys are here, check out the rest of the shows on the Earth Hotel Network.
Earth Hotel.
Yeah, there's a new show called I Came Here for an Argument, and if you like to get behind your keyboard and be a keyboard warrior or whatever you are, commenting on Facebook posts, It might be the show for you, or if you just like debating, it might be a show for you. Don't look at me like that, Dash. I use that term because somebody called you out on your Facebook post. It was so funny.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Oh, no.
People get so bent out of shape on the internet. But anyways, use the internet for good, not bad. Is there anybody got any closing statements or anything like that?
I don't. I think we had a listener question, though.
Yeah, we do have a listener question. Okay, yeah, let me pop on over to the email. They sent the listener question via our email at WTIIboys with a Z at gmail.com.
Is that our first email question?
No, we've had a couple.
Okay.
We've had a couple.
B-O-I-Z.
B-O-I-Z.
Who's that this? Z is important.
Because we're cool ass. Students.
So this is the title of the email, the subject is Cult Status, and it's from Boggled Bible Builder in Birmingham. I'm toying around with a homebrew for religion in a campaign I'm writing. Usually I find that religion lore in tabletop is kind of bland and ignored by players. Typically, yes. But I'd like to be taken more seriously at the table. What suggestions do you have for making an engaging and in-depth religious lore for a game? Well, Dash, this is kind of your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I noticed you looked at me on that one because yes, I have homebrewed a religion before. A few, actually.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, if you want religion is typically bland because a lot of stories aren't really focusing on it so much.
Yeah.
Usually the stories that aren't focusing on it make religion just a sort of background thing.
Yeah.
People are going to be engaged as long as you have clearly thought out your lore, like you know the rules, you know the events and the course in which they happen. People will be engaged as long as you have done that properly and have incorporated it in a way that gives the player that makes the players want to engage with it.
Yep.
If, for instance, they're part of a prophecy or religion is very important to their character's background, as long as you've constructed it well, they'll want to know more about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say pretty much the same thing. If it doesn't affect the player or the world that the characters are in, mm-hmm. like it's not going to interest the players. And that's the thing about most lore in general, like religious or not, is that it's built just to have a world that's constructed. It's not built, you know, relative to any given players that might be participating. And so like you really got to, you know, if you have characters who are religious, you just got to let that be part of the world that's universal. It's inescapable. It's not just a backstory to that character. It's part of the world that they're in.
That's focusing more into the player, but the culture. So you've already built the world. You already have a generalized idea of what your cultures are for
geography and like economy and everything.
I don't care about the geography for that. I mean the cultures themselves. You have an idea of how they operate. Have that inform on what their religion is,
mm-hmm.
the gods and the way the religious practices are orchestrated.
Yeah.
Should be informed on how the people actually live day to day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
if you yep, have absolutely. A harsh region, a harsh cold region with nomadic movers, they're obviously going to either pray to a really easy to catch bull or like a good hunter.
Yeah.
Rude god.
Right.
Yeah.
I actually got on a discussion with, I was watching Matt Colville on his Twitch channel. He's a guy that's written some supplements. He's writing a Fortress supplement for D&D 5e to expand on the one they already have. He's written two books in a trilogy.
On the existing supplement?
Yeah, he's expanding on it and adding more to it. He's one of those professional dungeon masters. Like he understands world building and lore.
There's that phrase again.
There's that it's a thing. It's a thing, and I'm trying to figure out how you do it, but I don't know.
Let me know when you figure it out.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
This has got to be a good stuff, right?
Yeah, right. But
a PDA, like, professional dungeon administrator.
I was discussing with somebody on the channel, and they said like somebody was like asked a question to him, but he didn't like really go over it. So we were discussing it in chat. And the guy was like, build your pantheon, then build your religion around that. And I disagreed with them. And like you said, Dottie, have your culture influence your religion. Why do the people worship these gods? Yeah. And then build your gods off the necessity
What are
of that.
The necessities that the culture faces that they need a god to fill?
Is it an agricultural focused society? Then have an agriculture
god of harvest.
They probably
care a lot about the rain and the sun.
Exactly. Yeah. And then is it a technologically like war driven society? Then if they are religious, then they might worship a war god, a martial god.
Is it a sprawling city that has a lot of like insubordination and crime problems? They probably have a like a god of justice.
Yeah.
Like the more complex society, the more you'll see gods that have sort of like vague things. But the more primitive is more like weather, animals, and like stuff like that. It's actually one of my favorite topics when it comes to world building as a whole.
Absolutely. I think we could expand this into like later on as we go into a whole episode. Of like religion and gaming. Just a couple more points. Not everybody in the world is going to accept the religion that is in your game. That's just how it works in the world. Especially if you have a sprawling continent, some gods are not going to be favored upon in cities. Some cities don't want any religion to deal with because they don't want gods
atheism
meddling.
Been around forever.
Exactly. Or the deities are dead. Also, if you're playing Dungeons and Dragons, there's these things called paladins and clerics, and all of their powers are based off of the gods that they worship and they follow. If you have somebody playing that kind of character, make that an integral part of their character and their story
and
their
backstory. Put the god in the world.
Put the god in the world. And like, and there's something that I love seeing in games is like when somebody acts out of character or like out of what their deity would approve of. Like you're a domain of life cleric and you kill somebody in cold blood. Your religious symbol cracks, or your armor or that's been having this glow falters, or your powers aren't working as well.
Yeah.
Like, and then make that a part. Like, if something that happens, like punish your player. Okay, well, like, if they do something that's out of turn,
spank them harder.
Then show them that hey, you can do whatever you want, but there's going to be consequences. Show the consequences of their actions to their player.
Absolutely.
But also allow their room for redemption. Be like, hey, you acted out, but you're going to have to do... There's a whole other quest line you've got right there.
Yeah.
That your cleric has to redeem themselves in the eyes of their deity. There's a whole dungeon you got to do, and there's you can build that to your story. But yeah, excellent question, Boggled Bible Builder in Birmingham. It felt like a Dear Abby thing.
A little bit.
Yeah. That's all for this topic.
Yeah.
We're back to a little bit normal, but we're gonna fill out our format and figure out what works best. We've got some more dungeon delving that we're gonna do.
Mm.
I mean, we're in this void.
We gotta figure out how to get out this endless void that we appear to be trapped in.
From what I understand, Mr. Big's gonna let us out, but he can't really let us out back into our world.
Okay.
He doesn't know how that works.
Well, there's the portal behind us, but it just sort of reads off whatever fucking place we're going to go to.
Oh.
If we want to leave.
Okay.
So he's just got to go read the manual or something.
I don't think he designed this very well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seems a little haphazard.
I feel like collectively this dimension could be designed just a little bit better. We could tweak this.
It wasn't my idea to go to this dimension.
Let's start using our imagination levels now to power up this dimension.
And let's use it to boost our own personal gain.
Yes.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah exactly.
This rickety old dimension can't contain us.
What if this is the dimension that has the jet skis?
Now you're thinking with realms.
There we go.
All right, well, now when we're in between breaks of recording, because that's all we have time to do now is just record and play games, so I guess I'm just going to wander around
here
and try to find jet skis.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
outside this dimension.
Whose turn is it to find the jet skis this time?
Whose turn is it to find the jet skis?
All right, well, I'm Wesley Franks.
I'm Dash Holman.
I think I'm... Yeah, I'm Klein Martin.
I'm Michael Dottie.
And whose turn is it? Dottie never does it.
It's not
Roll that
turn.
Beautiful Bean outro music footage.
Yeah.
Just let me go to bed.
You've been listening to the Earth Hotel Network. This show and others like it can be found at theearthhotel.org. You can send feedback, strange signals, and interpretations of your dreams to theearthhotel@gmail.com. Thank you for joining us. This has been Jackie.